One of the joys, you know, being vaccinated, and also kind of, yeah, a little distance so I could just breathe freely. But this is actually my first ever sermon. So, you know, kind of, are we there yet? Well, I guess for this, I'm here. And, yeah, kind of want to focus on patience. And I'm going to start off with Romans 8:18 through 25. But before that, I just want to mention, it's going to be more of a word study. I'm going to kind of string some passages, kind of like pearls on a string. And we're going to kind of work through it. But again, the emphasis is on patience and endurance, long suffering, abiding. They're all tied together. And it has been a long year. We've all experienced difficulties, challenges, and even losses. It's been hard. Kind of thinking about some of the things that we've been going through. It's just, yeah, kind of like moving. Packing up one place, moving things to another place, trying to close out the old, kind of move on to the new. We've kind of done that here this last month on Guam, but we're going to be doing the same thing again when we get stateside. Again, finding a place, not just for ourselves, but also my mother-in-law, packing up, moving. It's like, when will it ever end? A book that I read quite a while ago by Eugene Peterson, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. He talks about, kind of goes through the songs of ascent in Psalms, chapter by chapter. And it's about a journey going in the same direction. And he quotes Paul Turnier, who describes the experience of being in between the time we leave home and arrive at our destination, between the time we leave adolescence and arrive at adulthood, between the time we leave doubt and arrive at faith. It is like the time when a trapeze artist lets go the bar and hangs in midair, ready to catch another support. It is a time of danger, of expectation, of uncertainty, of excitement, of extraordinary aliveness. I'm not sure if I would describe this past year as kind of an extraordinary aliveness. It's been frustrating, but it's been a time of in-between. We kind of look back at how life was, and we look forward to how life will be. In some ways, it's like a journey. Getting in the car, kind of leaving our home, kind of looking forward to our destination. However, sometimes that journey is not the most pleasant. Sometimes it's long. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Paul writes, "For I in Romans 8:18 through 25, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. That word patience in the Greek is hypomone. It's being under or remaining under, kind of enduring, kind of keeping going. It's the capacity to hold out, to bear up in the face of difficulty. Patience, endurance, fortitude, steadfastness, perseverance. It's also the act of, or state of patient waiting for someone or something. Expectation. Think about the journey, the hope of the destination, the expectations. It helps us to endure. The Greeks saw hypomone as both having a positive and a negative. Positive, resolve, hope. The negative, resignation, hopelessness. One looks forward to what lies ahead. The other one has no hope. Nothing to look forward to. When Jesus calls us on us to turn the other cheek, is it kind of being a floor mat? Kind of resignation to our situation? Kind of enduring it? Or is it more? There's more to it. In Luke 6:27 through 31, Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them." Jesus starts off not talking about turning the other cheek, but about love. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. There's resolve there. There's purposefulness. It's not resignation. It's looking forward to the future. You don't know whether that person that's persecuting you, troubling you, will become a Christian. Think of Paul. He sent many to prison, had many killed, and yet he became a Christian. Love even your enemies, for you do not hold their future. Christ does. Okay, the patience and endurance that we are called to exercise is purposeful. Again, resolve. It's got it. It looks to the future. The journey from where we were and where we are going is not empty time. The time spent in the car, even if there's no air conditioning. Yeah. Even if you don't like the music. Even if you don't like the scenery. It's not empty time. It's a time to grow in Christ, also to build relationships, because we're not alone in the car. There are others, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Use that time. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus is our example. Endurance is not just a state of being, but it involves resolve. It requires action. Hypomeno is that action. That's the verb. Hypomone is the noun. The writer of Hebrews encourages us to act with purpose. And Jesus is our example of endurance. He looked to the goal. He endured the suffering so that we might live. He did not concentrate on the here and now, but on what the future held. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." We must act with purpose, again, with an eye to the future. Hupomeno, to be patient, to persevere, to endure, to be steadfast. Paul writes again in Colossians 1, 9 through 14. "And so, from the day that we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing the fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." Paul uses another word for patience, macrothumia, long suffering. If you break the word up, that's what it means. It's a word that's used throughout the Old Testament, denoting God's patience with Israel, his long suffering. He put up with Israel. He puts up with us. It kind of mentions, so as. The word so as denotes purpose. The purpose. What we're called to do is to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We're to become Christ-like. He's the example. He's the model. We're called to become more and more like him. Also, it talks about us being delivered from the domain of darkness, transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Again, journey, movement from one place to another. Yet, we're not there yet. Macrothumia, seeing something through to the end, long-suffering with joy. How do we endure? How do we endure this journey? It's challenging. It's sometimes painful. I was told, as far as being a pilot, long periods of boredom, punctuated by moments of sheer terror. Yeah. I'm not a pilot, though a friend took me up. You know, he handled the takeoff and the landing, even some touch and goes. But he let me fly in between. But when he was doing his takeoff and landing, I made sure I sat on my hands. You know, even though I've got a control wheel in front of me. Kind of part of the journey. Going from place to place. It's not always exciting. It's not always peaceful or pleasant. How do we endure? Paul writes in Romans 5, 1 through 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Looking forward. It's not dwelling on the here and the now. Looking forward. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Notice, you have faith, you have hope, and you also have love. Central to our being able to endure. God is instrumental in providing that. It's also a call for us to have faith, hope, and love. He provides it, and it's to be part of us. He gives us what we need to endure. Who are we to be patient with to endure? Romans 15, 1 through 7 says, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.' For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. Again, purposefulness for the glory of God. Who are we to love? Who are we to bear with, to endure? First mention is our neighbor. Imagine. Yeah, we're in the car. We're on the journey. Who are our neighbors? Those on the outside. It's more like a bus. A bus that keeps constantly picking people up. They may become our brother, but we're to love them. Jesus said, as far as the greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Many years ago, I drove a number of local race car drivers from Albany, New York, down to Dover, Delaware for a NASCAR race. I was driving what was called a luxury excursion coach. It's kind of like a big limousine. And those drivers, they came prepared to party. They brought their own beer and they started drinking early. And as we were in the traffic jam before the race, kind of creeping forward to the racetrack, they opened the windows. They were harassing other drivers and kind of catcalling women in convertibles. They were pretty much a mess. They opened the windows. It was a hot day, and they killed the air conditioning. And they blamed me. If you do something stupid, don't blame the driver. Jesus is the driver on this journey. If you do something stupid, don't blame him. Love one another. Love your neighbor. Also, he calls us, love those who are weak. And love our fellow Christians. Who are we to bear with? Pretty much everybody. But above all, have patience with God, the driver. Trust him. Trust his goal, his destination, his timing. Think about Job. The whole story of Job. He suffered. He endured for a period of time. He endured. He did not curse God. But he also never found out, at least at that point, what it was all about. He was left to trust God. Trust God's goodness and purposes. James writes in James 5, 7 through 11, be patient, using makrothumeo, again, long-suffering. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Be patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job. You have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Again, steadfastness. got Macrothumio. You have Hippomone. Kind of different words. One of the things that attracts me to Scripture is how God weaves things together. Patience, endurance, long-suffering. And again, endure with one another. We're all in the kind of in the journey together. As Brother Kim said, many of us have experienced driving somewhere with children in the car. But guess what? We're the children. Bear with one another. Why do we have to go through difficulties? James goes on and says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Without steadfastness, we are incomplete. God is working on us. We go through what we go through for a purpose. Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Again, long-suffering. It's a fruit of the Spirit. God is long-suffering. We're called to be like Him. Long-suffering. In John 15:12-17, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you love one another." Notice the word abide. It's the Greek word meno. It's the root of hupomeno. Kind of to persevere, to endure, to abide. They're all tied together. All these other Greek words are also based on meno. Kind of a preposition that's connected to the verb root. All have to do with abiding, staying, sticking with it, not giving up. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "So now, faith, hope, and love abide." They stick around. They don't disappear. They're not like water that dries up. They abide. These three abide, but the greatest of these is love. It's because of faith, hope, and love that we can endure. Jesus, before his death on the cross, in John 15, said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Abide. We're on a journey. Jesus is the driver of this car. Stay in the car. Love one another. Encourage one another. Even encourage those outside the car or the bus that they might join us. If nothing else, we're following Jesus' example. He loved everyone. He died while we were still sinners. While we were enemies, he loved us. He died for us. We're to follow his example. It's kind of summing up about enduring and abiding. We have to depend on his strength, what he provides to grow and to endure. We're to follow his example. To trust in his plan. He's the driver. He knows where he's going. And he knows what we need to see, what we need to go through. His goal is to perfect us, to make us more and more like Christ. He knows what we need. We have to trust his timing. It's been a long year. When will it be over? We have to trust his timing. We also have to bear with one another, building each other up in Christ, just as Christ builds us up. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your love and your grace, and how this journey that we're on, it's your journey, part of your journey. And you're the one that's in control. Lord, help us to trust you, to trust what you're doing, but also help us to be more and more like you, to one another, to those around us. Lord, glorify your name, for this whole journey is for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.